Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe, Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell from Dogs 24/7. And George is coming off a win. It wasn't what everybody wanted. It definitely wasn't how we predicted it. 31-24. Really did not expect it to go down that way. Georgia could not run the ball. Had a hard time for 2.5 quarters. Really stopping Mississippi State, slowed them down. I mean, Mississippi State had to earn every yard for the most part, except for one big pass play, but Georgia made them earn the rest of it. And then finally got it going on defense and came up with four straight stops to secure the win. But the big story is JT Daniels. 38 pass attempts. He completed 28 of them for 401 yards and four touchdowns. And that's the only place to start, Rusty. What were your thoughts on JT Daniels' performance, and does it shock you, does it surprise you that after a 15-month layoff, he comes out and kind of puts the team on his shoulders a little bit and does what he does?
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I was there and had a good view, had an elevated view of that game, so I got to see it unfold, and we could talk a lot about this game, but Mississippi State basically – made JT Daniels beat them, and he did. I mean, Jake, they, you know what I know, they were in that box. I mean, Georgia was not going to run the ball, and they were going to man up those wide receivers. And I don't think that Mississippi State quite knew what Jermaine Burton could do. Obviously, George Pickens got involved early, but they gave Jermaine Burton and JT Daniels some opportunities one-on-one. And he made them pay against Kyaris Jackson. I mean, there was some throws that were 50-50 balls that Georgia made, which were great. There were some underthrown balls that Georgia made, and there was some absolute dimes this kid dropped. So I'm always that, let's be more realistic. You know, it was a game of you got to be careful. You know, Georgia fans are so desperate to solve these quarterback issues. I mean, you just got to be a little bit careful with this thing. You know, I've seen some crazy stuff in the last 24 hours posted. You know, this guy's won national championship, Heisman's. I mean, just let the kid play, you know. But I'll tell you this, that sample size that we got on Saturday, there was a lot of positives. And I tell you what, if I'm a wide receiver at Georgia right now, I'm extremely happy about what I saw because he took some shots. The run game is something that is going to have to be fixed because Georgia is not going to win bigger games against better teams running like that. That was, if I'd have told Jake and Kip, I'd told you those stats on the running, we would have all borrowed every dime of our 401k, every dime we'd get out of our parents' 401ks, everybody we could borrow money from to double down on that bet we would have, because I'm talking about the money line, the win line. Because that was shocking what they did to Georgia up front. And those are some questions remain. That secondary certainly gave up some shots. But I think at the end of the day, Jake, you're absolutely right. The story is JT Daniels. I think there were some things that fire you up if you're a Georgia fan. And I think there's some things in the job that we do, we got to caution you a little bit to let's let this kid play and let's let him, you know, get back into the groove of things. And see where he is in a couple of weeks, but what a outstanding game one after a lengthy layoff.
Absolutely, and one of the first thoughts that came to mind was kind of the difference between the 2016 and 2017 season for me, because it seemed like after every single game in 2016. And I know Jacob Eason was a freshman. I'm not trying to sit here and say he was bad or anything like that. He was asked to do a lot and came through in some situations clearly. But after that 2016 season, you saw so many balls, whether it was Reggie Davis here or Isaiah McKenzie there, or you saw so many throws that Georgia missed its layups. And you saw that that year to year where Fromm kind of came in next year and he tapered off toward the end of his career and got a little bit more inefficient with the deep ball. But he came in 2017, and that's what he provided that 2017 team. And one of the reasons it was so good was because he did throw the ball downfield so well. When Georgia got a guy open behind the defense, he got it to him, and they made the play. And game to game, you saw that same thing here is DeJuan Mathis and Stetson Bennett missed 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 big layups against Florida with chances to get chunk plays. And JT Daniels didn't miss any of them. He may have missed one, but then that one came back for a defensive pass interference on George Pickens. He had Pickens open behind the defense and underthrew it a little bit. But that was a huge difference in this game because Georgia was getting wins on the outside and on the inside. And JT Daniels was making Mississippi State pay for it. And I'm not concerned about the run game in the slightest because I feel like it doesn't shock me that Georgia struggled to run the ball. It does surprise me that they struggled as much as they did. But when you look at how Georgia ran the ball against Auburn and especially late against Tennessee and Alabama, Kentucky, Florida, I think the offensive line has kind of shown you enough to know that that's not anything more than a bad game from them. And I also think that Mississippi State, the way they play defense, it directly correlates with the success JT Daniels was able to have because they went zero coverage, attacked the line of scrimmage, slanted, stunted, did stuff with their linebackers. And Georgia still got beat up front and didn't play well against in the run game. But Mississippi State also committed a lot of resources to make sure that even when there was some movement at the point of attack, it was a 3-4 yard gain instead of that 15-20 yard burst in the run game. That's not a big concern for me. We'll get into the defense a little bit later on. But Kip, anything specific about JT Daniels' performance stand out to you?
It's just overall, I think this is what, you know, kind of coming into the season, this is what we expected to see against Arkansas. I think just the ball coming out quickly, you had, you know, RPOs that gave Pickens catches early on in the game. Pickens being featured to begin with, I mean, this was kind of what we expected. It hasn't been, you know, the year that any of us projected for George Pickens, but that game is what we thought would happen. And just also just seeing multiple screens, the offensive play calling, the, you know, moving the pocket around, deep shots on play action. I think Jake projected how this game would go early on, just in our last pod, talking about how, you know, JT was going to have to, you know, get rid of some rust. And early on in the game, you know, he had a couple throws that he would love to have back now, but he shook that off and got in the groove. And I mean, it's one of the best quarterback performances we've seen at Georgia in some time. I don't know what the grade would be or whatever, but I'd imagine it's going to be pretty high. He just had big time throws and he got comfortable and his confidence in the pocket got better as the game progressed. And so I think that, you know, there were several plays that kind of stood out, but overall, you know, it was just very, you have to be encouraged by what you saw from him. I think that, you know, again, the lack of mobility as he's, you know, still trying to get to 100%, you saw that impact the run game. And, you know, that they knew what to expect Mississippi State did in the backfield. But overall, I think for a guy that hadn't played an actual game in over a year, that's as good as performance you're ever going to see.
Yeah, there's really two ways to kind of look at this. And you know, if you're a Georgia fan, and we've got to get into this, you know, there's the why didn't JT Daniels play sooner? Why wasn't he the guy sooner? And, you know, I feel like Kirby Smart is kind of catching some heat by saying, well, I have 25 years of coaching experience. There are some people kind of being like, taking it as don't question me. I think Kirby kind of squashed that part of it whenever he said, he can absolutely understand why somebody would ask that question. I mean, I don't think he's trying to silence anybody by saying the coaching experience, but I do think that's kind of his backup here, and Todd Monken and the rest of the offensive staff. And, there's the schools of thought here. There's the two schools of thought that JT Daniels was held back and he should have been Georgia's starting quarterback for however long. And I thought it was really interesting that Kirby Smart acknowledged after the game that things went downhill with the other quarterbacks. That's as close as you're going to get to him basically criticizing a player like that or criticizing not necessarily an effort, but a performance of a guy. But then you also have to kind of take this into account. Did maybe it was a game off or a half off or whatever, but did they kind of get him in there at the perfect time? And, you know, I kind of tend to lean towards the latter because, you know, everything you'd been hearing, and Rusty, you were hearing the same thing, was that JT Daniels was healthy and JT Daniels wasn't in danger of hurting himself anymore, but JT Daniels wasn't ready to win the starting job, okay? And there's a big difference between the two. I know fans, I know you guys out there, I know you want Georgia to win, you're rabid, you want it bad, right? But at the same time, like, a guy being able to go out there and not injure himself further is not necessarily a guy who has worked himself back into being, you know, near the top of his game or even 80% to the top of his game. You know, a lot of these injuries happen. And you talk about it with running backs and cornerbacks and defensive ends. Charles Grant was a great example. Robert Edwards was a great example at Georgia. Nick Chubb, I know his injury was really severe, but he's an example. Sony Michel took a couple of years. All of these skill position players, everybody talks about, well, it's a 24-month injury. Once you're 18 to 24 months away from that injury, then you kind of get back to yourself. And I feel like that got ignored with JT Daniels, that everybody just kind of expected that, hey, you know what? He's cleared. He's ready to roll. Let's go with JT Daniels. He's going to be the guy. He should be performing at a high level. And you saw it start to creep in, guys, with people saying, well, I don't think JT Daniels is very good. If he can't pass these guys in practice, he's just not very good. And who are saying that are now saying we should have been playing sooner. And I understand that criticism, but at the same time, it seems to me, Rusty, that what we were hearing was spot on in a lot of ways. And that's what we were hearing, guys. It's not like – I'm not saying Rusty and myself went out there and watched it and gleaned it from ourselves and we're geniuses. We have to rely on what people tell us because we don't get to see practice. But to me, Rusty, it really seems like they kind of brought him along slowly. And, yeah, it may have been a game late. It may have been a half late. It may have been – the 2 weeks that he had to jump into the starting role was the time to do it. I really don't know, but it's hard to argue with the fact that he was put in a position to have some success, right?
Jake, that's an obvious question that everybody wants to talk about. And I'll say this, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it all falls on Kirby Smart, but this is an offensive staff, you know, Todd Monken, everybody, Buster Faulkner's involved with this. As an offensive staff, you decide who gives you the best opportunity based off what you've seen when you're trying to make this move. Health-wise, you know, Ron Corson involved with this. It's we may never know. I mean, we may never know when he was exactly ready. I know he made the comment he was ready after Arkansas. And look, at the point of that, it was Stetson Bennett's team. It was clearly Stetson Bennett's team. It was clearly Stetson Bennett's team until probably after the Alabama game. Because let's don't forget now, the first half, Georgia is leading Alabama. So a Stetson Bennett team was beating Alabama at halftime. And then things just kind of unraveled the next couple of games after that. So, Jake, you've been on top of this from day one. You know, he started getting more increased reps. Was he ready against Florida? I don't know. I mean, he had to be close, but obviously he didn't get in the game. So, You take the bye week and you get an extra bye week. So you had 2 extra weeks to get him mentally prepared, get him physically prepared. And it is what it is. I mean, I know Georgia fans, and here, I'll say it right now. I don't know if Georgia can beat them with JT Daniels because Florida was carving them up. I mean, and in the, you know, the, we can talk about the wheel routes, the secondary. I mean, like it or not, Florida's a damn good football team, and they've got a senior quarterback that is absolutely dialed in, and they are hot right now. Probably been, you know, who knows? It's all, but to me, I'm so about sample size. We talked about every single week with Stetson Bennett, we're getting more and more samples, okay? And this is what we're getting out of JT Daniels. So at the end of the day, do we know why he didn't play earlier? We don't. But we do know it's a process and getting him there, and you just don't throw a kid out. And I'll say this. You know, I saw Kirby Smart comment on this, and I saw a lot of reaction to it, and I understand it, and I get it. But Kirby Smart had a good, pretty good point at the time. They got this kid, and they got this kid when they had Jamie Newman. So, you know, if Daniels comes in, lights it up for 4 games, and then next year he's the guy and he does great things for Georgia, what a hell of a get for this staff to go out and get him. Because I know at one point Tennessee thought they had him, and, you know, maybe where's Tennessee right now with JT Daniels? So, you know, there's a lot of questions to be answered down the line, but right now I think Georgia fans need to, you know, just be cautious a little bit with him, and let's let this kid play out and not put so many expectations on him. But I'll tell you, I'll say it again, it was a hell of a game one performance. And man, he made some throws that the Georgia fans have been desperate to see for a while.
Kip, you got anything to add there?
Just the post-game quote from JT that stood out to me. I mean, he thanks Ron Corson and talking about waiting until he was really ready to play. And people have picked apart that quote, just talking about the fact that he got cleared for game two and that he was ready. But, I mean, the last part of that quote told you all you needed to know. And it was, he started out by saying he had progressed since then, and the end of it. We're still progressing every week to try to get to full strength and full health back, end quote. Right there. The fact that it was a physical progression every week. So he may, again, the reason why this has been discussed ad nauseum is because of him being cleared and Kirby saying that he was cleared and, you know, he could play, but not seeing the field. That's the whole season. I mean, if it had come out that he just was not physically cleared, the question would still get asked each week, when will he be cleared? But you would know he's not cleared yet. And that's really what everyone has kind of struggled with. And the point is that we've said on this pod so many times that being cleared isn't the same as being completely ready to go out there and play. And JT confirmed that in that quote, that it was a progression. You know, we don't know what percentage it was. You know, it was 60, 65%. Now he's 70%. He would have been out there and he would have played against Missouri the week before had that game gone as scheduled. And that's, you know, that's when he was ready to go out there. That's when Ron Corson and the coaching staff thought he was ready to go out there and perform, you know, at a level conducive to helping Georgia win. The only issue is he went out there and performed basically better than, you know, any quarterback has in a Georgia game, you know, statistically in a long time. And so that's, you know, if that was 70% of JT Daniels, you know, maybe 60, 55% would have been good enough to win, you know, to beat Florida. And I understand that, but I mean, this was a decision made with a lot of people involved, you know, a lot of eyes on him. And I think it's clear that, you know, he's ready now. Instead of looking back and thinking what could have been, I think the more productive thing for everyone would be to look forward and see what still can be, not just the rest of the season, but as Rusty said, next season, and looking at, you know, the wide receiver group and seeing you know, what could be if you have all these guys on the field, all these weapons, this offense could really get a lot of things done in 2021.
I'm going to clear something up, speak for Rusty here just a second before we jump into a break. When Rusty says that Stetson Bennett's team, what he means is Stetson Bennett had a firm grasp on the starting quarterback job, and he was getting all the first team reps, and that's just how it was going. I think some folks have taken Rusty to mean, you know, Stetson had taken control, or that Stetson was playing at such a high level, he was basically owning the whole thing. That's not it. It was basically that Stetson had a firm grasp on the position then, but we kept telling you over and over again that the competition was not over, and there was really no end in sight for the competition, because you never really got the feeling, even though Stetson had played really well against Auburn and had played well at times against Tennessee, good first half against Alabama, that he was the long-term solution at the quarterback position. You were going to need to see that to believe it, and it didn't turn out to be the case. And now it looks like JT Daniels is the long-term solution at the quarterback position as long as he stays healthy and continues to get better. Let's jump into a break real quick. On the other side, let's talk about the defense a little bit and kind of the challenges they faced against Mississippi State and the late wake-up call they got. And we can't get out of this podcast talking about the receivers and specifically Jermaine Burton and what happened at that position. So let's pay the bills real quick. We'll be back on the other side.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, before we dig deeper into the offense, Rusty, the defense. Now, coming into this game, zone defense had given Mississippi State all sorts of problems. Now, I don't know if they worked on it for 2 weeks or what. I thought Will Rogers was outstanding. I thought those receivers, all those bang-bang catches they made while getting hit, some of the ones they caught going to the ground, Mississippi State deserves a lot of credit. But at the end of the day, Georgia didn't get red zone stops, and it gave up a big play or two. Well, what's your evaluation of how the defense played,
Jake? I'm surprised. You know, I was maintained on this board, and you know, I sit in some meetings and right after our convention in March with some of our national guys in Nashville before we left, and I told Bud Elliott and Barton Simmons, I said this could be Kirby Smart's best defense he ever has. I mean, they got dudes all over the place. They got depth. They got the right amount of senior guys. Now, let me be clear before I go off the deep end on this defense. There's certain people that you don't replace. And you remember when this team lost Roquan Smith, I think me and Jake for certain were like, listen, guys, I don't care who it is. It's going to be a drop-off. This was an elite, top 10, whatever he was, NFL draft pick. And Georgia has recruited 5 stars and done it. They still haven't replaced Roquan. And the difference was because he was that special. what they've got in the middle right now with Jordan Davis, they're not going to replace him for a little while. They got some really talented dudes, but what he does in the game is, and what he makes people behind him that much better, you know, it's going to take a little while to replace something like that. Then you got a Richard LeCount, who is such a valuable, energetic player that drives the momentum on that side of the ball, and you take him out and you get some things that happen. Now, some guys got to make some plays. I got to do this. I got to do that. But I'm telling you, they're missing two huge pieces of the puzzle right now, and two likely very high NFL draft picks. Jordan Davis, I would be shocked if he goes out of the first. You know, a lot of people talk to me about LeCount, and everybody wants to see Richard run. So we'll see where he is there. But I still think Richard would be a top four round draft pick at the end of the day. Jordan is definitely going to be in the first, or if not, he's not going past the second unless something pops up on him, injury or something. So they're missing two very valuable players there. But listen, it's concerning. It's concerning, and I think there's so much focus on the quarterback position at Georgia, it's kind of overshadowed what's going on that side. And that – Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Glenn Schumann, all those guys, I mean, that's their baby. And the product they have trotted out there for 2.5 years has been damn good. And for whatever reason right now, it's not working. And they've got players. So they're going to have to make some adjustments, or maybe some other guys get some opportunities. But I don't have the answer, but I will say straight up, it's concerning.
Yeah, I see that. And obviously against explosive offenses, I think Georgia's in the same category as everybody else. It's very, very tough to stop the Alabamas and the Floridas of the world. The Mississippi State game surprised me some. I think some of it, like I said, is a credit to the execution of Mississippi State, but I also think some of it was the gimmick of Mississippi State. Georgia's so good at stopping the run that when teams basically can try to go in and not run the ball, it kind of almost plays into Mississippi State's hands. Because when you've got a pass rush like Georgia has and you've got a run defense like Georgia has, you want to be quick. You want to get the ball out quick. You want to nickel and dime them. And Mississippi State did that to perfection. And I definitely have my concerns and my doubts about Georgia's defense against really explosive offenses. Like if something was to happen and Clemson doesn't make the college football playoff and Georgia ends up matched up with Clemson in the Peach Bowl or something like that at the end of the season, I would have a hard time thinking Georgia's just going to come in and stop them and play great defense. I think Georgia's going to have to outscore them if it wants to win. But I do think that the gimmicky nature of that offense, and Kirby talked about it all week, how much do you want to change? How much do you want to do differently? Even compared it to kind of preparing for the triple option. But I don't take as much from that game as I do the Alabama and Florida games, and I think you're probably looking for a bounce-back game or can anticipate a real big bounce-back game against South Carolina against an offense that is more traditional and doesn't really have big-time weapons on the outside of Shy Smith. But I saw that Georgia defense play really well against Auburn and Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz, and I saw that defense really come alive and play well against Tennessee. I think that the run game and defense are going to eventually bounce back, and I think it's going to be as soon as this week. Kip, what was your assessment of the defense? Was there anything that kind of went on that you were just like, didn't expect that to happen?
Well, you know, even though we've mentioned that obviously not having Jordan Davis, not having Julian Rochester out there, I mean, it's a different look. And a lot of the time, Georgia had three down linemen, really, really two. It was two normal down linemen and basically an outside linebacker with his hand on the ground, I think, most of the time. And, I mean, what really caught my eye is just the defense was playing off. And you know, whether it's not lack of effort, but just lack of aggressiveness. They weren't jumping routes. They weren't playing tight coverage. And I mean, they look confused. It's tough when you see guys who are, you know, seniors out there confused with what's happening. And you saw that with, you know, Monty Rice and Mark Webb. There was some miscommunication there in a couple plays. And really, it's, I guess the one thing that kind of stood out is Tyreek Stevenson is kind of continued to struggle in coverage. And he's kind of, you know, him and Mark Webb, it seems like they're more suited for, you know, more of a, I don't want to say linebacker, but just more playing toward the center and you know, playing in the true passing down situations, not being line, you know, not having to line up, you know, whether it's in the slot or you know, playing in coverage. You're going to have to put yourself in situations where, you know, they're not going to hurt you in coverage, because it just seems like that's what's happened several times in this game. And really, I mean, you got to credit Mike Leach and his game plan, because, I mean, getting the ball out quickly and limiting Georgia's ability to put any pressure on the quarterback. I mean, it was a great way to, you know, optimize the skill sets that his guys had. And Georgia's going to have to go to a scheme or a playing style that allows them to play much faster, because they just were not able to utilize the speed they have on defense. And it just looked like they were playing on their heels most of the game. And so even whenever Georgia tried, you know, some blitzes, they weren't really effective early on. I think in the second half, they were able to, I mean, they came out and played more aggressive, but they played tighter coverage. And I mean, the results were much different than they were in the first half. There's reason for concern overall. I know that Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning put a huge emphasis on havoc plays. Georgia's secondary hasn't really been able to live up to that, its side of the bargain in that area. I mean, even pass breakups, that, you know, the last three, four games, they haven't really been able to make a lot of plays in the ball. Even with the personnel changing, you know, you have too much talent on defense to be able to allow the teams to get the chunks of yardage that they're able to get in the underneath passing game. So I think tightening that up, that's a huge thing. That you're going to have to play tighter coverage, and they're going to have to play, I mean, they can't play off the ball that much and not expect teams just to move down the field on them. Just if you're going to give them that much, then they're going to take it every single time. So I think I liked what I saw whenever they had Stokes, Campbell, and DJ Dangle on the field together. I thought that was a good look, seeing DJ Dangle out there more. I thought that was encouraging as well, and I thought he did a pretty good job out there. So I think moving forward, you know, if this is it for him, I think he's earned the right for more playing time. And I mean, I think he's earned a chance also to think about, you know, maybe being able to potentially come back and put yourself in an even better situation draft wise next year. I don't know if he would do that, but he showed me enough on Saturday to where I think, you know, he's got an opportunity to play more down the stretch.
All right, let's talk about these receivers. And you know, I did that performance by Jermaine Burton, you know, four catches for over 40 yards. JT Daniels, I think, had six completions of 25 yards or more. Four wide receivers had a catch of 25 yards or more. Pickens, Burton, Kyaris Jackson, and Demetrius Robertson, who low-key had a pretty good game, Demetrius Robertson did, especially that one catch down the sideline, helped Georgia run a little clock and turn that into one final drive for Mississippi State, even though they shot themselves in the foot later on in that drive. But I take away from this game Jermaine Burton. And, you know, I wrote yesterday that he's a guy that Georgia's been waiting around for a while, because he's not Mecole in terms of speed, but he brings that element. And he's not Riley Ridley in terms of 50-50 ball and route running, but he's got that ability. And he's not the biggest guy out there, but he's big, and he's able to win those 50-50 battles. And he's showing some of that Terry Godwin-like sure-handedness. And when you put all of that together, it reminds me of like a Malcolm Mitchell or a Tavarius King type guy, Rusty, that can do it all. And I think Georgia has really needed that do-it-all type wide receiver. And, you know, I don't want to put lofty expectations on him and say, yeah, he's going to be a two-time 1,000-yard receiver or anything like that. I felt like we were maybe being unfair to George Pickens prior to the season by doing that. But he can be an Amari Cooper-like presence. Maybe won't be as good. Maybe he's better. I really don't know. But that all around, he can beat you in so many different ways, to the point that a defensive coordinator can't just say, okay, well, we're going to do this and this and take him out of the game plan. You've got to give him more attention. And I think that's something that this offense has really needed, because when you've got a George Pickens, a jump ball guy, 50-50 ball guy, an outside guy only, basically, I think it's a little easier to deal with than a guy who can just beat you in so many different ways. And Jermaine Burton really kind of flashed that to me against Mississippi State. Did you see anything similar to that, Rusty?
Yeah. I mean, listen, when you look at – and I've covered Jermaine since he was a freshman. I think both of you guys might have still been involved with that. Hapeville Charter, never forget going down there. If you've ever been to Hapeville Charter, the practice field is straight dirt. It's incredible. It's like leaning to the side. There's no lines. They're just out there. They got a chalk piece for like – or a cone for every 10 yards. But – you know, as you look at Jermaine Burton and you look at Pickens and you look at all these guys, I will say this, Jake, you probably may have the count, but I think I saw Aaron Smith on two plays. The one play was definitely intended for him because they jumped him. As soon as he came off the line of scrimmage, it was a straight shot out of a cannon. It was going to be a bomb, no question, but JT looked it off and checked it down, and he did the right play there. But just watching him take off, you see that explosion. So, as Georgia fans and what you're talking about here, they start looking toward the future and looking at these guys. You see, you see some dudes, man. I mean, and the Kip brought it up too. You know, some of the quotes after the game with JT Daniels. You start seeing some of this stuff, and you know the comment he made about, you know, why recruit these guys if you're not, you know, we're going to use them. So, it's hard to not be excited if you're a Georgia fan to look out and see what you see. But those guys, what they did tonight, making plays, Pickens early got involved in the game early. He was blocking, doing all this kind of thing. Everybody may have not have watched the game yesterday. I know Kip did. When you watch Julio Jones, Julio made a tremendous catch on third down. The next play, he knocked the freaking defensive end down on a run play. And at Georgia, if you're going to play, you're going to be physical. And not everybody's that alien that Julio is, whatever how big he is phenomenal. But it's that effort he gives, and you're going to have to do that at Georgia. And I saw a lot of that. I watched a lot of that on Saturday. I watched these guys blocking. They were very engaged. So, you know, talking about all this stuff with the wide receivers, you got to be excited for Georgia, because I know people are desperate for a vertical passing game at Georgia. And, you know, right now, after a game with JT Daniels and seeing what he does, and he puts it out there. I mean, he lets his guys make plays. Again, there was two balls that were underthrown. I mean, they were flat out underthrown. And his wide receivers came back and made a play. And that's what – that you see that a lot. You got to let your playmakers make plays for you. But it's hard not to look at that game on Saturday night on the offensive side of the ball with a passing game and not be excited.
Yep. Any opinion there on the I got dogs barking in the background, but any opinion there on Jermaine Burton and the receiving core and kind of how it stepped up in a big situation?
I mean, Burton was a guy that we talked about on the show coming into the season. We thought that, you know, he was kind of set up to have a big year. Obviously, not having Dominic Blaylock out there kind of put him in, you know, in an opportunity for a bigger role. And he'd made some plays during the year, hadn't really put it all together. And this was kind of that breakout game for him. The one thing that always stands out to me about Jermaine Burton, he's not a guy that's going to – I don't know what his 40 time is. You know, I don't know what he's going to run down the road. That's – He never really looks like he's running at full speed. He always just looks like he's, you know, he's just kind of gliding down the field. He's got that, and this is kind of an insult to ever say this about a guy, but he's got deceptive speed. He's a lot faster than maybe what his time speed would lead you to believe because of just how intense he plays. He attacks defensive backs. You know, he attacks them, you know, at his break point, and a lot of times he'll gain a yard or two in separation just by how aggressively, how violently he is as far as coming in and out of his breaks. And I think that that mentality is impressive for a player that young. And I think that he's got good body control as well. And it just, it brings me back to, you hope that Marcus Rosemy Jackson, you know, we think he should be able to come back and get right back into it. Dominic Blaylock, again, having, you know, the year to hopefully come back to form as well. And then, you know, Arian Smith continuing to develop. You put those guys together with a guy like Jermaine Burton and George Pickens. I mean, Kendall Milton, you know, Darnell Washington, you have all the pieces there for a dynamic offense. And so, like Rusty said, fans have wanted to see the offense perform at the level that George is capable of. You've seen other teams with these, you know, incredible offenses be able to, you know, win championships. I mean, all the pieces are there. The recipe is there for Georgia to be able to field exactly that next year. And that's why these next three games, again, all their goals for this year, you know, they don't have that opportunity to, you know, play for the SC championship, you know, get in the playoff, but they still have the chance to develop toward the ultimate goal. And I mean, you look at the impressive seasons in recent years, they've come from fourth year quarterbacks. I mentioned that in the other show. I mean, that's kind of been that part of that recipe for a historic offense is having a guy with experience. And JT Daniels was able to continue playing like he did on Saturday. I mean, he's got to put more games on the resume. He has developing, he still has to do as well. And he's probably not going to throw for that many yards in every game, but he has the ability to, and he has the ability to continue to get better. And that, I mean, that should still have fans excited for what the future might hold, because I think everything's there, everything that you would want for Georgia to be able to have an offense that's one of the best in the country. And I think, I mean, if anything, Saturday's performance, I mean, it's against a Mississippi State team that we've already said had what, less than 50 scholarship players out there. So let's see him do it, you know, for the next one, hopefully three games left in the season, and go from there. And if he can continue to play at that consistent level, then, I mean, I think everyone should be put on notice that Georgia could have a really, really good group next year.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, it's, and there are a lot of bodies, there's depth. There's a lot of, they check off a lot of boxes. Some guys check off more than others, and there should be some excitement there. And Georgia has a chance to grow this Saturday against South Carolina. At South Carolina, Georgia's won two in a row there, and Gamecocks are kind of reeling a little bit. Another chance for kind of JT Daniels to get some experience under his belt and to build some momentum going into next year. We'll learn about the Vanderbilt game time today and hopefully get some information on when that Missouri game will be made up, if it'll be made up, and all of that stuff coming in the near future. But, you know, for now, listen, and I made this point earlier today, wasn't a pretty game Saturday night. Georgia should have beaten Mississippi State more than it did. Should have beaten it, you know, should have played better football, should have ran the ball better, should have played better defense. But it won because it punched with its left hand for the first time in a while. And that's something I think is a step in the right direction. Wrote a story about that over at Dogs 24/7. Come check it out. But for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast, that's all we got. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell from the same place. And you all take it easy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.